As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh. Our guest is Denise Neal, Wichita Eagle reporter and author of book Classic Restaurants of Wichita. Welcome to Issues 2022, Denise.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
How long have you worked at the Eagle?
Oh my gosh, I've been there since 1997, if you can believe it. Sometimes I can't believe it. Wow. It was my second job out of college, but yeah, I'll be on 25 years.
Well, what was your first job, if I can ask?
Well, my first job out of college was as a reporter in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I was there for about 2.5 years covering education and higher education. And then I made my way back to Kansas somehow.
So going to say, where are you originally from then?
Well, I grew up in Dodge City and went to KU, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. So, then I made it back to Kansas eventually.
All right. Well, I've got a copy of your new book, which I consider a must read. I'm still reading it. I haven't put it down just yet. I'm almost through it. I think it's a must read, especially for folks who grew up and maybe dined out often in Wichita. What motivated you to write this book, Denise?
Well, I've been writing about restaurants since I got the restaurant beat in the year 2000 at the Eagle. And started doing that then. And over the years, I would occasionally write stories about asking readers, if you could bring any restaurant back to life just for one day, what would it be? Because I found that interesting. My restaurant knowledge only goes back 25 years. But as I got this beat, of course, I learned that, obviously, it went back way farther than my association with Wichita. And I would always hear people talk about these great restaurants that they missed. My coworkers would tell me about them, or readers would write me about them. And so when I would do those stories, they would be incredibly popular when I'd ask people to nominate the restaurants they most missed. I mean, I would just get inundated with emails and phone calls and letters of people going on and on about their favorite restaurants from days gone by, like Albert's and Portobello Road and Lazy R and places like that. So about 2 years ago, this publisher called Arcadia Press, they're based out of South Carolina, and they do these history books. They do them all over the country and tap local authors to write them. They asked me if I'd write this book about what restaurants kind of made Wichita dining scene what it is. And I thought, well, I definitely feel qualified to speak on that topic after all my years of doing this. And so I said, heck yes, I'd love to try that. And off I went.
Now, was the research difficult? There are quite a few stories in here. How did you do the research?
Well, the research was kind of difficult, not terribly difficult. It's really funny. I kind of started by sort of polling people on a couple of local history Facebook pages about which restaurants I should include in this book if I wrote a book about this topic. And there's these two Facebook groups called, one's called Wichita History from My Perspective, and one's called If You Grew Up in Wichita, Kansas, Then You Remember, ... So you can request to be a member of either of those. And I would say probably about 80% of what they discuss in those topics, in those forums, is restaurants they miss. So I pulled those people and got my kind of initial list together based with the knowledge I already had from the stories I'd written in the past. And then I went to the Eagles archives with a headlamp and started digging out our old folders back in the, you know, 60s and 70s. The librarians at the Eagle would clip out all the articles and put them in little manila folders and then put them in this massive file cabinet. And those were our archives until 86 when they became digital. But I went and dug through those archives forever and would just go through those old clippings and kind of gather stories. I also found an incredible resource in the website newspapers.com, which has all of the Wichita Eagle Beacon ever written in its archive. And it's searchable, and it's really an amazing thing. Of course, they didn't get it all up and posted until I was done with my book, so I I had to go back and do some research. But the other thing I did that was the most valuable was I used my reporter skills to track down the surviving relatives, and in some cases, the surviving owners of these places, and talk to them and ask them for memories and ask them for photos. And that was the best. Those were the best ones when I could actually reach the people, you know, and get the information and get the actual archival stuff that they had in their basement. So it was time consuming, but also for me, very fun because I love this topic.
What was that website? Newspapers? What?
It's called newspapers.com. And it's basically a resource that digitizes newspapers from the past. You know, until recently, they've been, you know, there's some are on microfilm in the libraries or in clip files in our basement, newspaper basement archives. But this website, which you do have to pay to be a member of, although I consider it worth every penny. And there are some levels of free membership you can get through the Kansas Historical Society if you just go and sign up on their website. But you can search anything. And not all markets are completely uploaded. Sure. If the bigger cities are, the smaller ones not so much. But Wichita, as of last year, is completely, everything is there, and it's amazing.
We want to highlight a few better-known restaurants in Wichita. As we have time, they each have a unique story, but share with us, if you will, a general comment on dining out in Wichita and what impact the pandemic has had.
Okay. Well, you know, the pandemic has been hard on restaurants. It's been hard on everybody, but it's been really hard on restaurants. And it's just one thing after the other. You know, I don't think any of them anticipated a day where they'd have to close down and go to carry out only. No, nobody could have envisioned that scenario happening. So they had to find ways to adapt to that. Some of them, you know, closed down entirely. Some of them carried on with carry out. Then they had to respond to kind of the big boom in interest when they were able to reopen and return. And now they're struggling with the fallout from COVID and the employment situation. The biggest thing they're all facing now is that they can't find employees to work and to stay and to stick around, and you know that is the biggest issue they're facing now. But you know, they're all just kind of struggling to get by. We've lost quite a few. The pandemic was good for some places, the type of places that already focused on drive-through and carry-out type situations. Yeah. You know, had bigger business during COVID, but you know, it's just they're adjusting to a whole new reality. And I think we'll look back and see this as a time when the way we ate out kind of changed a little bit in history.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you begin your profiles with the Innis Tea Room. I don't remember that I was ever in the Innis Tea Room, but ever going there. But my wife tells me it was her first job. She was a waitress there in the 1960s as a young teenager. The Innis Tea Room. Tell us about it.
That is so cool. The Innis Tea Room is a place I always heard about, especially from my friend Bonnie Bean, because her mom took her there when she was little. It was downtown on the sixth floor of the Innis building, which is now the building they're turning into the medical school down there. I think it's Broadway and William and Market, I think. Oh, my brain is aching right now, but you know where the Innis building is, right across from the old Harry's department store. And people would go shopping. I mean, all the shopping back then was done downtown, and we didn't have the malls. And they'd go to the Innis department store, which is a multi-level department store, and And then on the top floor, after a day of shopping, or, you know, if you wanted to impress your friends, you would go up to this elegant tea room and have dinner or luncheon, and the women would wear white gloves, and it was all very proper and pretty. And there was a separate men's grill where only men could hang out and smoke cigars. But this was kind of the place to be. It opened, I think, in the 20s and really continued on through the 70s. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people grew up going there. And it's definitely an iconic place in our history.
The you're right about the Harvey House in Wichita's Union Station. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Harvey House is popular in our culture. There was a movie about the Harvey Girls, an old black and white movie that a lot of people have seen. But it was a restaurant concept started by a man who rode the train around the country and you know, didn't think the dining options and the train stations were very good. So he started these Harvey House restaurants in train stations, and he would have his waitresses wear specific uniforms, and they had specific codes of behavior. They were called the Harvey Girls, and it just kind of grew throughout the country. And Wichita briefly had one in our Union Station back long ago.
Yeah,
and
that was,
That
was a right, and the movie was starred with Judy Garland, as I recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you write about two national hamburger chains that originated in Wichita. I knew about White Castle. I did not know that Griff's started here.
Well, neither did I until I started doing my research. But yeah, apparently Griff's was also something that started in Wichita and continued to develop across the region. I think there's still a couple of Griff's. Yeah, out there somewhere, but not here. And just like White Castle, they got started here and left us.
That's Griff's on West Street was the hangout for all those of us who went to West High School in the day. That's
where we
parked our cars there when we weren't dragging Douglas. We parked him in the parking lot.
I'm so jealous. I am absolutely genuinely envious of anyone who got to see these places in real life, because for me, you know, they seem very important places, and I can only imagine them. So when I meet people who actually went to them, I'm incredibly envious that you saw it in real life.
Yep, and the Carney brothers, of course, started Pizza Hut here.
Oh, yeah, Pizza Hut's a big part of our history. They started that here, the little Pizza Hut building. Their first one is over on the WSU campus. But, the Pizza Hut chain made a lot of people in Wichita really rich before it moved off to Texas, but, you know, obviously Wichita is a good breeding ground for famous places to start. Not only those two you just mentioned, but Freddy's also.
Freddy's,
so, yeah.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Denise Neal, Wichita Eagle reporter and author of book Classic Restaurants of Wichita. You know, my family, Denise, did not dine out much when I was young. The first time I can remember going out for dinner at my older brother Don's insistence was at Mars Garden on East Harry.
Oh, yeah.
And Wichita has a rich history when it comes to Chinese restaurants, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My research, I learned a lot of interesting things about our history with Chinese restaurants. And one of the earliest restaurants in Wichita that was popular was a place called the Pan American Cafe. It opened in the late teens on North Market. And at the time, there were only about, 30 Chinese people living in Wichita totally. Yeah. And they were all men, and they all worked at the Pan American Cafe pretty much. They couldn't bring their wives with them or their families. They came and started their lives in the United States and then brought their families. They couldn't bring their families over till much later. They made really interesting food. It's not the Chinese food we're used to today.
Yeah.
It was called they called them chop suey palaces. And the Pan American Cafe and Holly Cafe both had the words chop suey on their signs. And chop suey was kind of an American creation of noodles and meats all sauteed. And there was nothing Chinese about it, at all. But it was kind of a dumbed down Chinese fare to appeal to Kansans' unadventuresome palate. But the rest of the menu was like liver and onions and chicken fried steak and things like that. But yeah, and then there's a long history, and a lot of the Chinese restaurants that opened after that can trace their people who started them all had kind of roots in the Pan American Cafe. But I loved researching your Mars Garden. I spoke to the founder's adult daughters who don't live in Wichita anymore, but have great memories of that place. And he's another man who came here and started his restaurant and started his career and wasn't able to bring his little girls to join him in the States until, you know, they were 4, 5, and 6 years old.
Right.
So that's very interesting learning about that.
You know, my wife and I have dined out frequently during our marriage, both of us working and with children. So a lot of times it was good to get out and go eat. But I'd like to get your comments on a few of our favorites, if I can. Out of our first date, Shelley and I went to Savoots.
Oh, yeah. Savoots is one of those restaurants that is just keeps on keeping on year after year after year. And it's still there. I think it's got to be close to 100 years old pretty soon.
Something like that.
I should check on that. But, Savoots was founded years ago, and it's now in the ownership of the third generation on North Broadway. It's still going, still serving up the things we remember. And I haven't been there in a few years, but I should get back. I love the little airplane-themed bar that's attached to it.
Definitely got the model airplanes hanging in there.
And,
yeah, my son, when he was 3 years old, would get up and study the airplanes and the pictures of the airplanes, and he wound up going to the Air Force. So how about that?
And the airplane seats that you can sit in the bar.
You know, for a cozy, romantic atmosphere, and you couldn't beat Portobello Road. You had to go down a little alleyway to get in there.
Yeah, you did. That was a restaurant that eventually kind of succumbed to Kellogg construction, as many restaurants on Kellogg did over the years.
Yeah.
Portobello Road was a very fancy place. There was a restaurant there initially called Elizabeth. And when it closed, the owners, new owners took it over and turned it into Portobello Road, which had kind of an English tavern feel and was dark and romantic and had kind of expensive food for the day. But that restaurant has kind of bubbled up in my consciousness again over the past few months. I don't know if any of you saw my stories I wrote, but the original Portobello Road sign that was hung outside the restaurant resurfaced at an estate sale last month.
Hmm.
And that was very exciting for me to see that in real life. And the Historic Preservation Alliance of Wichita and Sedgwick County was able to purchase that sign. And they also found the back half of it. So they now own it. And all of that Portobello Road research led me to find a collection of original Portobello Road dishes with the name imprinted on them that I now own.
Wow.
And that are my most prized possessions. Yes.
You know, we enjoyed
about this stuff.
Yeah. We enjoyed many evenings at a place called the Hatch Cover, who, by the way, they had a prime rib that one night I said, I'll bet I can cut this with a fork, which I did, like I was cutting a piece of cake. The Hatch Cover was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. The Hatch Cover. I didn't know much about the Hatch Cover until I started researching it, but this one really captured my imagination. You know, I was born in the 70s and grew up watching Three's Company. And so I romanticize that time period, you know. And the Hatch Cover was where Quan Court eventually ended up. It's now a dental office over there on Rock Road.
Right.
But next door to the Racquet Club. And people would go to the Racquet Club and play tennis and then come over in their yuppie outfits and lean against the brass bar at the Hatch Cover and have cocktails. That sounded like it was a really cool place.
And they had a three-piece combo on the weekends at playing this light jazz music. I'm drinking a martini and just nothing could be better, you know.
Well, the Hatch Cover is one of those restaurants, Steve, that I became built it up in my head a lot while I was researching it. And then I was actually able to find two photos from the interior deep in the Eagles archives. And I was so excited I almost cried because I was able to actually see it with my own eyes.
You know,
Denise,
when I think of white tablecloths, every time I think about the olive tree, which the original, I believe, was the one on Kellogg near the motel. The olive tree was a nice place to dine as well.
Yes, it absolutely was. And that was kind of the beginning of Antoine Tubia's career.
Yeah.
And if those who know about the dining scene know that Antoine was a Lebanese immigrant who started the Olive Tree. And then he went on to found many other restaurants that were pretty influential. Cafe Chantilly, eventually he had a Latour restaurant group. They had Piccadilly. That was awkward. Sorry about the sneeze.
Yeah.
They had Piccadilly, and eventually he moved the Olive Tree to a pretty fine dining establishment at Rock and 29.
Right.
He was very influential in our dining scene. He kind of is the person credited with introducing sort of what they call continental dining to Wichita, where we moved beyond our, you know, liver and onions and fried chicken and potato menus. And he introduced us to kind of, you know, complex proteins with sauces and, you know, more sophisticated presentations, and kind of ushered in this finer dining era that we all are able to enjoy today. Pretty influential.
Yeah, I'm almost out of time. We still enjoy a new way, usually with a cup of chili for me.
Oh, yeah. New way is great. And the new way is so fascinating to me because the original building is still there.
Yep.
And it's the oldest still operating restaurant that's in the same building where it opened. There's nothing older that's still operating in the same space, and I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, on West Douglas, a little old house down there.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Denise, what makes for, in your opinion, what makes for a really fine dining experience?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. To me, I need a good atmosphere, great service, good food that's consistent, and some restaurants are able to pull that off for years and years. Some aren't, but those are the things that go into it for me.
The we can't mention every restaurant in Denise's book today. There's so many good ones, so many great ones. But if you're interested and you've listened to the show today, you might want to pick up a copy and check it out. I think I'm going to use it as one of those things that at Christmas time there are certain people that have lived here that have gone away and have memories about Wichita, and this is a book that will lock right in there.
We're
talking about these restaurants.
Yeah, and at last Christmas I was doing some pretty brisk business of people that wanted to send the book to other people. And by the way, if you want an autographed copy, I still have some of my own that you can contact me at my Eagle address, dneil@wichitaeagle.com. And they also have copies at Watermark and Barnes & Noble.
Well, you could...
Or not Barnes & Noble, Borders. That's my age.
Okay. Well, listen, you can send me an autographed copy if you want to, but I'd really like to have a couple of dishes there from Portobello Road. That's what I want to have.
You and everybody else, Steve. Get mine.
Oh, wow. How many pieces are there then that you have?
Well, I haven't counted. I got a stack of about, I think I got about 18 plates, and I gave some of them to Greg with the Historical Preservation Alliance because I thought he needed to have some to go with the sign. But yeah, I'm thinking about having a Portobello Road themed dinner party, you know, and looking at the old menu and making maybe serving some steak au poivre or something.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Do you think you're going to write any more books, Denise?
You know, the publisher is interested in a follow up because I got about 100 restaurants in here, but as I've been out promoting the book and talking to people, they've told me about 200 more that I missed. So I think I could probably do 10 volumes, but I'm going to try for another volume here in the next couple of years.
So you got 100 in there, huh? Or more?
Wow. About 100, yeah.
All right. All right, well, so we want to say, thank you for being with us this morning. I'm a big history buff, and it goes beyond Civil War. I read about all the time, World War II. These are the things, or personalities as well. But I'm very much a history buff. Love to go to the museums, and I don't know. I don't know that a lot of people are interested. Like, I don't know where did you get your interest in history from? Dodge City.
Well, I don't know. My interest in history kind of developed as I got older. And, you know, these are two things that really interest me. History and restaurants, like, combines two of my favorite things. But I think what really got me going is about 20 years ago, I moved into a house in Delano that was built in 1908. And so I live in a 110-plus-year-old house. And just learning about my neighborhood and the people that lived in my house before I did. And then I've always loved old pictures of Wichita that show what was there before we were here. And it's just developed over time into kind of a passion. I think that happens to a lot of us.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Our guest is Denise Neal, Wichita Eagle reporter and author of book Classic Restaurants of Wichita. And it's been fun. So many restaurants and you've featured over 100. You've done a great job. We appreciate your book. Thank you for being with
us.
Well,
I could talk to you for 16 more hours about this. So
don't
call
have
back
time.
Anytime.
All right. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.